We're going to talk about putting God first. What does putting God first look like? So I want to discuss it briefly and get a feel for, you know, where everyone's at. Let me just ask that as an open-ended question. What does putting God first look like in your lives? Who wants to start us off?
Well, I'll start off. For me, it just came to be a revelation that, you know, I just realized that Christ is in me and I am in him. So all of my activities are based on pleasing God. So whether the issues be either good or bad, right or wrong, my decisions are made by asking a question: is this going to please God, what I'm about to do or what I'm about to get into? And that helps me base my decisions on that particular activity or venture or endeavor, you know. And I do want to please God in everything I do. Now, you know, I'm elated to know that, you know, Christ died for our sins. So, you know, I used to beat myself up about, you know, repenting, and I know that he died and he took away all sin. But now that I realize that he is in me and I am in him, that allows me, and it keeps an awareness for me as to put him first in all my decisions. You know, the first thing I ask is, Lord, be with me today, moment by moment, step by step, in all my decisions, in all my activities, you know, and help me get through the day.
Amen. Praise God. Ernest,
praise God. God be the glory, yes.
You worded that beautifully. I love how you shared that. That's an awesome. I love your answer. Who else wants to share?
I will. For me, putting God first in everything that I do, and every thought, from the little things to the big things, is just relying on Him constantly, and the Holy Spirit, and being obedient. I think obedience is just such a big part of it as well. So for me, putting God first in everything is utmost important in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Well, I agree with what the other two said. I think it's like when we go to do something, we need to pray and see if the Lord is in this or not. And I can't say I always do that. I tend to sometimes rush into things without doing that, but I know that it's important. I know putting God first is, I think, daily in the Word, setting time aside to meditate in His Word and pray, is putting Him first.
Amen.
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 Hello?
Anyone else? Yeah. Pastor John?
Yeah. Had another call come in, so I want to hint at that. So, yeah.
Okay. Pastor John, we were just discussing about how to put God's first. Let me ask you this, Pastor John. What does putting God first look like in your life?
It's doing the work that Christ Himself would do, letting my life hopefully be the example, and using words as little as possible, that by going out, feeding the hungry, trying to take care of the homeless, basically be a good, decent person, that the light of Christ will shine through me, and people will see that I've got a something different about me that they themselves will want, and that I believe we can accomplish more when we meet people's needs first, then they might be more inclined to hear our message. If we get out of a soapbox somewhere and just stand there and preach at them and tell them how they need to be, all the things we think they need to do to be, unquote, saved. That you'll get a whole lot more response with honey. And then maybe if I go out and provide a meal for a hungry person, you might be more inclined to hear my message or whatever your need might be.
Thank you.
Amen, Pat.
Amen. So I listed some things here. In what ways should we put him first? And I put, you know, the basics with our time, with our money, with our relationships, with our possessions, with our cares and worries. These are certain ways, you know, things that we can think about. But I love what, you know, everyone has said, basically, is this going to please God? It's not a mere what would Jesus do, because we never know what Jesus would do, because, I mean, Jesus was listening to his Father all the time. Jesus only did what the Father wanted him to do. Jesus only said what the Father gave him to say. So it all comes back to not a black or white kind of, you know, what the Bible says or what Jesus would do necessarily, because we can't know that, but we can listen to God in our own spirit. And so I love that question that Ernest posed, is this going to please God? And it's like, you know, Lord, would you have me do this? If we consider King David's relationship with God, he asked God all the time what he should be doing next. Should I do this? Should I do that? I just love to read about King David, and his walk with God was very personal, and that's exactly, I think, how we're supposed to walk with him today. So thank you for your answers. Walt, I don't want to not include you. Everyone else has spoke. How is putting God first look like in your life?
Well, you know, it's just it's a matter of when was God put first? Let's see. Here's the thing. I try to put God first in everything I do. I'm not always successful, but I don't stop trying. So, as most of you know, I teach Bible college, and I'm the chaplain out at the racetrack, and those are my two ministries that I do, besides going to church all the time. And I really love the Lord, and I do a few seminars here and there, teaching from the Bible, and these are all things that I've just gotten to the point right now where if I don't do it, I feel like I'm cheating myself. So understanding that I'm an old selfish human, and I want to have God with me all the time. I want him in the car. I want him at my home, in my desk. I want him in my life. And, you know, when I'm not doing something for him, I feel like I'm kind of lost. Yeah. So I've been trying lately. In fact, one of the sermons I preached recently was, I feel that I'm speaking to myself here, but I'll say it corporately, that we need to be more aware of our surroundings as we walk through this life. Because I think that we're missing out on a lot of opportunities for ministry to people. And, you know, that person that you see in the grocery store, and some little voice comes up and says, you know what, that person needs prayer.
Amen.
And how many of us are brave enough to go up and say, can I pray for you? Well, you know, these are just missed opportunities. And I really feel that the Lord is, while he's working on us, he's trying to minister to others through us, because that's how it works. And so a lot of times we miss out on opportunities to do something really cool for somebody else, and to do something that God wants us to do. You know, it takes a little practice to be able to go up there and do that. Not many people say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. But occasionally you'll find them. we just have to be aware, and we have to be aware that these opportunities come up on a Craigslist ad. You know, when you go out, I went out to look at a tool that I was interested in, and I ended up praying with a guy. And
Amen.
Those are things that you have to be aware of as in your daily surroundings, because God is going to present these opportunities, and, you know, we don't always take advantage of these times. And so my biggest goal for this year, I've read through the Bible numerous of times. I can't tell you how many years I've been doing that. I don't know, 10 years anyway, maybe more. I try to read a different version every year to get a little different outlook on the same thing. But we want to be able to take that knowledge that we get from the Word and put it into everyday use.
Amen.
If we can't do that, then, you know, we're not really fulfilling the commission that He's given us to fulfill. We don't all have to be pastors or chaplains or Bible college teachers. We just have to be good stewards of His Word. So, you know, my prayer for myself is, Lord, lead me to these people and then put this neon sign on their head so I can't miss it. Because sometimes that's what I need. Because I do miss it, you know, and I'm busy like everybody else. I'm retired, and I've never been busier in my whole life. So, you know, that's all I can say. Just, you know, get in there, read your Bible, and then take that information that you get as the Holy Spirit gives you clarity. I log all my readings, and when the Holy Spirit shows me something, I put it in my computer, and I set it up so I can search it. And I try to be very, very aware when the Holy Spirit is ministering that I'm looking at those words I don't understand, and I'm taking time to look them up, and then I put them in my reading log, and I look at them, and I go through. I was just looking today. I've got some 180 pages on my reading log now. And we just have to keep aware of what God has for us. Because each one of us, remember, we're parts of a body of Christ. We're
Amen.
Not just one individual person. We're parts of a body, and every part is necessary for the body to function properly. So we have to do our part so that the body as a whole can function properly. So I'm just, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord even puts up with me, because I'm a tough one.
You
know, we've got to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. We've got to have our eyes open, and we have to move forward, because God's got a lot of plans for us. We've got a lot of work to do. I mean, you know, I don't want to get political, but our president is not a Christian. He needs his eyes opened. We have to pray for him every day. You know, and now we have election coming up. We have a new president coming in. We need a godly man to be our president.
Amen.
And those are things that we need to pray about, and we need to seek his face daily. We need to read his word daily. We need to see what he has for us. We need to be excited about it, because God does some really cool stuff. And if we're not participating, we miss out on it. It's like being on a roller coaster ride, and you buy your seat, and then you get out and stand and watch the roller coaster go around. That doesn't work. There's no thrill there. You got to get on that thing and ride it for all it's worth. When God comes in and says, hey, Walt, there's a guy I want you to talk to. Go up and talk to him. And you know what? You might be talking about, hey, the weather's really nice today. You know what? Or so, man, it's hot today. Wow. And all of a sudden, you're talking about God, because that was the conversation that was destined. But if you miss it, if you don't walk up there, talk about the weather or whatever it is that you're going to do, then you're going to miss out. So I preached my soapbox. I'm done.
Amen, Mr. Wall.
Yeah, amen. I appreciate your words. And by all means, I want to encourage everyone to participate as much as they can, because I feel like, you know, I only have my perspective, but, you know, Rose has hers, Mom has hers, hers has his. And so I feel like someone's going to listen to this. I know people do. listen to these calls, because I'm recording it, and we're going to post it, and someone is going to hear something someone says, and it's going to make a difference in their life. It's just how it works. So I want you to feel free to share as the Holy Spirit leads you to share. So that's one thing I love about our time on these calls. Is not just about me talking. It's about the body of Christ. We are the church. This is about as church as you're going to get on these conference calls, because we are the body of Christ. And we're speaking openly. I'm learning from what everyone else is saying on this call. I'm inspired. I'm encouraged because what everyone else is saying on this call. And it's a beautiful thing. We're sitting at the feet of Christ talking about his ways and how to put him first. Anything else?
Well, Larry, you know, like Mr. Watt was saying, you know, we're really busy, you know, with our own life. But if we put Christ first and foremost, and sort of not sort of, but actually, you know, keep in mind what pleases him. Now, I can't. I'm at that point where he's talking about, you know, walking up to an individual and ask to pray for him, but I will acknowledge them if I see them, or I would just go ahead and pray for them anyway. I ask God to bless all kind of people on a daily basis, whether I speak to those people personally or not. If I have the time, then more people that I'm familiar with, then I'll get out and I'll speak to, I'll walk up and I'll address them. But I'm always going down the street, and you see individuals who are. Or less fortunate than I may be, not to say that I'm well off, because I am struggling in this world, you know. But I always say, Lord, bless this individual. You know, they look like he's doing too well right now. Bless his day. Make something happen in his life where he'll be more cheerful or put a smile on his face, you know. And know that he didn't put that smile on his face by himself. When I pray for, I work for the adult daycare. And so there's hundreds of people around me on a daily basis. And so I get to hear, they're not all Christian. So I get to hear the blood of their, displeasures or whatever's going on in their life. You know, and I pray for them and I tell them that, you know, to give those issues to God and not man, because man can't fix us. You know, I can't fix you. You can't fix me, but God can fix us all. He has done that through his son, Jesus. And when we acknowledge that pleases God, for him to be acknowledged. And life will be a much more pleasant. Just like you spoke about David, you know, and God said David was a man after his own heart. And David was doing pretty good. You know, he had his army around him. He had some good people and some people that I don't think that was spiritually inclined whatsoever, like Joab, his commander in his army. But when David encountered Bathsheba, it's when his whole life started going downhill. And God told him what he was going to inflict upon him, and David felt so hurt because he hurt God. I think that's where his remorse stirs from, because when Shimei, he defamed him by, you know, throwing a rock, kicking sand, and dust at him and all, and when it came to when he came back to power after running from his son Absalom, well, Shimei came to apologize to him, but Joab, he wanted to just go ahead and slew him right then and there for disrespecting the king. But King David had a different mindset, because he realized that because he didn't take these opportunities to speak to his son when he killed his brother. Well, he knew, because he sinned, that brought the sin, into his own home. And because of it's like he started this. So, you know, I'm going through a situation right now, and it's the second time. that, and I know that it's I didn't get the message, or I didn't get the lesson the first time, and I understand now how important it is for me to get the lesson. So, you know, my relationship with Christ is like I'm laughing at myself because he told me already that I shouldn't have done this. So now I've learned to be content in all my situations, you know, because I know that God is with me. You know, he's enabling me to get by day by day by staying in contact with him. But had I done what he said in the first place, I'd be better off. You know, my situation wouldn't be this. But because I'm learning this lesson, I don't mind walking through it. You know, it's for my own good. It'll teach me how to comfort the next individual that finds himself in the same situation or whatever. You know, and that's what David was going through. When even though Absalom was trying to overthrow him and all, he didn't want to kill his son. He wanted to take that opportunity to bring his son back in and console him to maybe he could reach him through the word of God, you know. But he didn't get that opportunity because Joash killed him out there in the forest, and all, you know.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, he was the ruthless guy. That Zariah, those sons of Zariah, they were something else. But, I mean, when we make these mistakes, you know, it gives us the opportunity. God gives us that strength and that courage to be able to console another individual that's going through it and don't know how to bring themselves out of it. And with Christ, we can do all things because he strengthens us, you know. It sounds like I'm rounding, I'm on fire. There's so many areas that in the Bible, I jump from scripture to scripture on a daily basis. And it encourages me. I mean, it gives me all kinds of just the knowledge. I'm grateful for what God does for me. And I'm going to stop at this particular moment because I have to run to the door. But you guys go on. I'll be right back.
Okay, Ernest.
I'll be right back, Larry.
Thank you, Ernest. I really appreciate all he had to share. Anyway, I just love this enthusiasm. And I tell you, guys, you know, it's easy to find Christians. It really is. It's easy to find Christians. But you know what? It's hard, difficult to find Christians that truly love God's word and that truly have a passion for him. I don't know how many times I'll talk to a Christian about daily Bible reading, and it's like they zone out. They didn't want to hear it. And I'm telling you, so all I'm saying is this is a refreshing conversation to hear from people. And we do this every Monday night. We're talking to people that are in love with God and love of the word. And that's a rare thing. And that's why, you know, we keep coming back because I just got totally encouraged by Ernest, who I've never spoken to verbally before. I don't think so. we've known him for a number of years through something else. So anyway, God bless everyone here. Let's get into the message.